Good morning. Does anybody know what we're about to do? What are we about to do? We're going to baptize the baby. You're right. And we're going to remind, you're on the right track. We're going to bless the baby. We're going to baptize the baby, and I'm going to put some water on the baby. And do you know why we put water on a baby when we baptize them? Yeah. What's that? It's a sign of purity. And we know that water washes us, it cleanses us, it restores us. And what it really represents is what Jesus' blood does in our story. And so we're reminded of how in Jesus we are washed, we are cleansed, we are forgiven, and we're reminded of the promise of eternal life. And Jesus thought the children were so special that he wanted children to be brought to him. And so I'm going to read some words from Scripture. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. We're going to place some water on baby Ethan. And then you're going to join me in doing something after we do that. As we gather this morning for the sacrament of baptism, we hear those words of Scripture from the book of Matthew. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And then there's those famous words from Genesis. I will establish my covenant between you and your offspring and the offspring after you throughout all generations. For this is an everlasting covenant. I will be your God and you will be my people. Baptism, and we've kind of talked about that, boys and girls, is a sign and a seal of God's promises to his people. In baptism, by God's grace alone, he promises to forgive our sin, adopt us into the body of Christ, his church, to send his Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to refresh us, and to sustain us, and ultimately to resurrect us to eternal life. That sign is made visible through the water. Oh, I got you, didn't I? I did two today. Water cleanses. Water purifies. It felt good, didn't it? And water sustains us. Oh, I'm sorry. And through baptism, God calls us to obedience, to love and to trust him, to forsake evil and to live a holy life. I'm sorry. Brad and Lika, you have presented Ethan for baptism this morning. I have a question for you and hope that you will respond with, we do, God helping us. Do you promise to instruct Ethan in the truth of God's word, in the way of salvation through Jesus, to pray with and for him, to train him in Christ's way by your example, through worship and through the nurture of the church? And you answer, God helping us. And Brad and Lika don't do it alone. You as family and friends and a congregation, I have a question for you and hope that you will respond with, we do, God helping us. Do you promise to love and encourage and support Brad and Lika as they raise baby Ethan in God's way, by teaching God's example of love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving strong support of God's family in fellowship, in prayer,
and in service.
And together, let's respond with our answer by standing. And together, let us say, we do, God helping us. You may be seated. Ethan, for you, Jesus came into the world. For you, Jesus died and conquered death and ascended into heaven. All this he did for you because he loved you before you were even thought of. Ethan and Willem Holshoff, we baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we just pray that the promise that we have now made and Brad and Lika have now made would so deeply resonate within baby Ethan's story, oh God. We pray that he would come to know the wonderful and the powerful name of Jesus. We pray that whether it be in the nursery or in kids' church or boys' club later on, oh God, that he would come to hear how much you love him, that you would give much grace and wisdom to Brad and Lika, Lord, as they raise him, that they too would echo and model that wonderful, gracious story. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys have a part to play this morning. I always walk babies around the church when we do baptism, and I want you to join me. And I want to see if you can figure out why I want you to join me in our walking of baby Ethan. So would you guys just walk with me this morning? All right. Ethan, God loves you so much. And that he called you not only into a family that tells the story of God, but he brought you into a church that will want to echo and tell you the story of God's love. And so, I want you to see all the people that are here in the church. And I want you to know that they love God and they want you to know the story of God. And as we and all these children behind us walk around the church, we're to remember our own baptism, the moment where we were brought and presented before God, and God laid out his promises that Ethan, you and all the children behind us hear the echo that we are loved by God, that we belong, and you guys can have a seat in front again, and that God has promised us that we will be forgiven and restored and renewed and can have the assurance of eternal life. And that is our prayer for you, is that you would hear how much God loves you. I'm going to present you back to your mom. And does anyone know why I asked you to walk around with me? Because at one point, depending on what tradition you were brought up in, you were either dedicated or you were baptized. And when you were dedicated or baptized, promises were made by not only your parents, but by the church. And you were like baby Ethan. You were far too young to understand. But every time we celebrate a baptism, I want not only you, but I want the whole congregation to remember the promises that God made to us, that in and through his life and his death and his resurrection, we are promised not only forgiveness, but the gift of eternal life, and that God will always be with you, and that you can always trust him, and that you can always come to Jesus. And that's our prayer for you and our prayer for baby Ethan. And because as a church, we made promises, we also want to give you a Bible. I know you've got a couple of these now. But you can never have too many Bibles. Here's what it says. Ethan Willem Holshoff, on the day of your baptism, Sunday, June 23rd, 2019, and from Proverbs 3, verse 6, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Present that to you. Congratulations. And at the end of the service, after we do our final song, before we leave, people will be invited to come up and to offer their congratulations to you. God's richest blessing as we together, as a community of faith, partner with you to tell that wonderful story. In a moment, you guys, up into including grade, are going to go to kids' church, but we're going to echo the story of our faith together. And so we're going to stand, and we are going to declare our faith together with the words of the Apostles' Creed. So if you as a congregation would stand, and let's together recite the words, and you can turn around, boys and girls, it'll be on the screen, and when we're done, you can go to kids' church. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Commentators will tell us that he's probably 3 to 8 days towards the cross. He's on his way in through Jericho. The disciples are in a house in Perea, the east side of the Jordan, just across from Judea. The Lord had just finished speaking. He had begun to speak about marriage and divorce. And it's just after that that people began to bring their children to Jesus, and they wanted him blessed. Is there anything more wonderful than coming to Jesus and hearing the story of grace, of mercy, that we belong in life and in death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? I don't believe it's coincidental that in speaking just after marriage and divorce, Jesus is saying something about the family. It's then and it's there that they begin in throngs to bring their children to Jesus. Picture what has just been going on. The disciples are in the house. Jesus was making his way. We've seen and we've heard the story of Zacchaeus, that tax collector who took extra taxes and robbed everybody, was up in a sycamore tree and ends up coming to faith in Jesus. There's the blind Bartimaeus who comes to Jesus and he doesn't understand it all, but by faith he's been healed. And then, there's that conversation of James and John, and good old mama gets involved, and they argue about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But it had nothing to do with that. Then they brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he placed his hands on them, he went on from there. I think the most exciting thing that I get to do in my job is this, is to echo the story of grace. To carry little children around the room and echo for us the message that God so deeply wants us to hear this morning. And yet you're right if you look at our text and says, what does that really have to do with baptism? Baptism isn't mentioned, but covenant is. God always had a special place for children. Children were always included in the covenant. In fact, 270 times in the Bible, the word covenant is mentioned. Think of it in those words we've already read. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Think for a moment of the water. Water refreshes. Water cleanses. Water renews. Don't we need to hear that story? To hear this morning that you are forgiven, that you belong, as we've sung and Marlene has spoken about, that we are so loved by God. I don't know about you, but I dearly need to hear that story, that I belong, my body and my soul, to Jesus. Notice how it's not one gospel writer, but now we have a second who says, when he saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, that's his disciples, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I don't know if you thought about it, but two questions really emerge for me. Is why were the disciples so indignant? And why did Jesus simply say, bring the kids and the kingdom of heaven belongs to them? I don't know what it was like when you grew up, but here in the context of our passage, children were a sign of a blessing. They were a part of the covenant. But like many of us, maybe you can recall, children were to be seen and not heard. I can remember going to family gatherings. The adults would be in this room and they would have all the good snacks and all the good drinks, and the kids were in the children's room. Family dinners. There was the adult table and the kids' table. And it wasn't until just before I got married that I actually made the big kids' table. Right? That's the way it was, right? But in some cultures, children are innocent, they're wise, and they're even looked to as one who we could learn from. Why does Jesus bring them into his lap and he blesses them? Because he wants you and I to be like that of a little child. He wants us to come in innocence, in faith when life doesn't make sense, and to come to Jesus. But why the rebuke? The disciples just simply thought that Jesus was too busy. That this wasn't important enough. That Jesus had more important things to do. Their heart was really in the right place. But Jesus, let the little children come to me. Interesting, isn't it? That faith isn't about having all the right answers. Faith isn't about having it together all of the time. There's something about faith that is so simplistic that we come to God even when we don't understand. Or like Thomas who says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. To come to God when everything doesn't make sense. And so Jesus is gathering these children on his lap and he's blessing them. But I want you to catch something. It's just like you did, Brad and Lika, this morning. It was purposeful. It was intentional. It was real. They brought the children into the lap of Jesus because they wanted Jesus to change their life. And so you too bring your children into the lap of Jesus. You do that when we have the sacrament of baptism. You bring your children into the presence of Jesus because you are here this morning. You bring your children into the lap of Jesus when they're brought up to the nursery and they're cared for. When your children have gone off to kids' church, you brought your children into the lap or to the presence of Jesus. when they come to Boys Club or Gems or Insight. You bring your children into the lap of Jesus when you pray with them and for them, when you read the Bible, when you do family devotions. And why? Because we, like the first century hearers, want Jesus to change us so that we might hear those words that we are holy and we are forgiven and we are loved. And so when the disciples say, no, don't, you can't come to Jesus, Jesus says, let him come. Let him come. Open the doors. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. They're holy. They're part of the covenant. They're valuable. They matter to God. And so this morning, we need to hear that story. If Jesus felt it so wonderful to bring children into his arms, how would the church ever not create a space for children to belong? We've witnessed how that happens. But let me give you something very practical. You know what? A church that has children that are wrestling in the seats, maybe even squirming, that we're like, oh, get control of your kids, is such a wonderful thing. When the minister accidentally double baptizes a kid, it's a wonderful thing. When he runs away, and hopefully he's not crying anymore. It's good now, right? Okay, good. It's a wonderful thing, because you know what it means? It means that the church is alive. And so the church should create space where children can come to worship and experience these things. But here's some advice for those of us that bring children or grandchildren to church. Sit close to the front. It'll be less distracting. It will give you the opportunity to see what happens in moments like this. You can witness what the worship team is doing and how they're not only leading, but they're worshiping. And you see the authenticity that comes. They can hear what the minister has to say more clearly. They can look at the stained glass or at the screen and hear through and see through pictures the story of God. Create a moment for your child to come into the lap of Jesus. You got a bulletin or a program when you came in. Explain why we do what we do. Explain from the very moment that I walked in with an elder and I walk out with an elder why we do what we do. Explain why we sing. Explain why we have an offering. Explain why we read the scriptures. If you have to leave, hurry back, because we don't want you or your children to miss the story of grace. But most importantly, worship. Children learn the best by watching what we say and what we do. When we pray, teach them and join in with them of closing your eyes and folding your hands when we pray. When we sing, sing. Even if we're not fully getting it, when somebody speaks, listen. For our children will model what we want them to hear. Children have so much to teach the church. And I wonder what lesson the disciples got that day when Jesus said, let him in. The kingdom of heaven is not for the rich and the smart and the people who have it all together. No, the kingdom of heaven is for those who come in faith like little children. Come like a little child in faith to hear the story of grace. Because there are no requirements to the entrance of the faith except obedience and stepping out in faith toward God. It was 1981, long time ago now. Jim Cimbala, pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, had always had his mind that we need to gather to pray. Well, one day, they invited Nikki Cruz, a former gang member. If you're at least in your 40s, you probably recall the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, which retells his story of coming out of a gang and into the story of faith. And he was inspired and asked to speak at Jim Cimbala's church. And they decided that when they were having this conversation, they would take the children upstairs and watch a movie. But within a few moments, they realized that they needed to pray. And so they asked the children, "Would you like to pray?" And so for the next 30 minutes, the children engaged in prayer. And something began to happen in that moment, is that a ministry to children became a ministry by children. And so for 20 years since that event, every Wednesday when they had the adult Bible study time, which was 2 hours, they would gather the children to pray. And the children would pray and pray and pray. And something powerful began to happen in that moment. And the whole idea of ministry and their need for volunteers began to change dramatically. They moved from one room to two room. That even to this day, that church has to turn away children to pray because the lineup is so big. God was doing something and teaching the church something through children. And then the World Trade Center attack happened. Their congregation was dramatically affected by it. But then one of the children spoke up and said, "We need to pray for Osama bin Laden because he needs Jesus too." What a wonderful story of us hearing the wisdom and the insight of children. And the invitation of Jesus to you and to me this morning is to come. To come to Jesus. To come and to sit in the lap of Jesus in worship this morning. And soak up the story of grace. To come to Jesus and to read his word. To come to Jesus in prayer. Quite simply, to hear those words of Jesus. "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who come in innocent faith." This morning, like baby Ethan, may we respond. And may we come to Jesus and rest in his grace. Amen. As we continue in our worship, we're going to come to a moment of prayer. Many of you know, as we heard just this past week, heard that Reverend Klumps, who many of us know, has preached here a number of times, passed away this week. Want to remember our continual family members, but again, also ask that you would pray for my dad. This past week, my dad was diagnosed with bone cancer, and after the service, we're going to go see him, but just wanted to pray that God's hand would be on the doctors as we figure out what's next in his story. Would you pray with me? Lord, how we need to hear those words. How we need to hear those words to come to you. And Lord, in the innocence of the faith of a little child, in the trust of a little child who believes the word because the Bible says it so, who then echoes the words, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way." May that ring true for our story this morning. And Lord, we pray that that story would so resonate within baby Ethan. That, Lord, the story of grace would profoundly touch his life and that of all those to whom he will encounter. And that his life would be an invitation for people to come and meet Jesus. Thank you for the reminder this morning of not only our baptism, but our professions of faith as well, where we have echoed and responded to those promises and says, I want to claim that as my own. And may the claiming of those promises, oh God, ring true in the way that we live and trust and come and invite and engage the story. And Lord, we thank you that in life and in death that we belong to you. And so, Lord, we just want to pray for Rita and the family, Lord, as they mourn the loss of John. We pray that the story of his faith and his love for you would echo on, Lord, through his children and his grandchildren and through the many lives that he has touched. But Lord, we also think of those this morning that need your healing touch. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to be with Howard as he mourns the loss of Lois, as he continues to get resettled, Lord, in a place that he's already calling home, Lord, at the Veterans Hospital. That you would use him and his story to be a blessing, Lord, to those on that wing at Sunnybrook. And that there would be people of faith that would continue to speak into his story there. For Ken, as he continues rehab, Lord, we pray that his body would continue to strengthen more and more. That, Lord, ultimately he would be able to be returned, Lord, home to Maria. Would you walk through them through this process? And, Lord, I think of Taya, Lord, as she anticipates surgery coming up in September. May that appointment, Lord, remain intact. May her body, Lord, be healthy enough for when that surgery comes, that the surgery would be able to happen. And Lord, I think for us as a family this morning, Lord, that you would be with the doctors, Lord, as they care for my dad. Lord, may we clearly have a clear understanding as the best form of treatment. We pray that you would grant him relief from the pain that he is in, Lord. And we just thank you for the echoing of the faith that he says, whatever will be, because God has me. May, Lord, that be our story as well. And so, Lord, we give you this time. And we pray that as your church, that this place would always be a place where we see children as a blessing from you. And that we would learn from their wisdom. That we would come in faith. In your name we pray. Amen.